So I will turn this call over to Berlin right now.
Thanks, Keith. So, as you already know from the description, we're going to be looking at a couple scales that will allow you to do some improvisation in a more Middle Eastern kind of flavor. And the handouts, I hope that everybody has gone on the website, on the Harp for Healing website, and has already downloaded the handouts for this workshop. There's a two-page handout that has information, and we're going to be covering that information. And then there are four pages of actual tunes. And although this is about improvisation, it's helpful to see what some of the melodies are and how the chord progressions work with melodies in these styles. There's a couple of them. Actually, it ended up being two Turkish tunes and two Israeli tunes. So there, of course, are a lot more than just those two in the Middle Eastern music culture. There's Persian, there's Armenian, and, you know, a whole bunch of others, Indian as well, classical Indian. Just these will give us a flavor and make it something where you can use those tunes if you'd like. Of course, I don't know that anyone is going to be playing Hava Nagila in a healing setting. That's more of a party song. But it does demonstrate the use of the scales that we're going to be talking about. There's also a lot of really big terms and foreign language terms that may or may not be of interest, but they're there on the handout, and I'll just be mentioning them. It's not that important that you get really, really into the Middle Eastern music. It's very, very involved. But I wanted to just give you some background so you understand where all this is coming from. So first of all, the Arabic maqam. Now, maqam is the word for that pretty much means the same as key. So when we talk about being in the key of C, we're talking about using a C major scale and making chords out of that scale, and your melodies and chords would pretty much stay in that key. And a maqam is also a musical uses a musical scale of seven notes. But some of them also have alternative scales. You don't need to know all these words, but the Rast and the Nahavind and the Hijaz are all types of scales. So some of the keys that are in Arabic music are a little bit more, I guess there's more variation, let's put it that way. Kind of like if you have a classical background and you had to learn your melodic minor scale on the piano or on whatever instrument, the melodic minor scale has different notes going up than they do going down. So even though there's really just seven notes in the scale, it's different. Two of the notes are different on the way down. So in a way, the maqams are similar to that in a lot of cases. The other thing about these scales is that many of them are microtonal. What that means is that they have steps that are in between our half steps. So not only in between the strings, you know, you can't quite get there with the lever. They're halfway between what you'd have as the string and the lever engaged. So these aren't really practical for harp players or really even guitar players. You can bend a little bit to get there. Some flute players can get there and violinists can get there. Or you can sing. But that would be something that, you know, you would have to dedicate a lot of time. Most of these scales are taught by ear, and in order to really learn them, you'd have to spend a lot of time. So rather than trying to be an expert at singing in these kinds of microtonal scales, we're going to look at some of the scales that don't require any microtones, and that are very common, and it's something where, you know, if you hear even this glyph here, you would hear something a little more unusual than just your standard key. And so the reason is that there are a couple notes tuned in there that create the scales that we're going to be using today. So the first of all, also I wanted to mention that the most Arabic, the most maqams here, let's put it that way, have a perfect fifth or a perfect fourth or even both, which, and then octaves are always perfect. So if you wanted to try and get into singing those a little bit off, you know, in between notes, you could accompany yourself by playing just drones of a root and a fifth, or even just a root and an octave, and then bring your voice into the microtones. But again, we're going to be just focusing on two of the scales. One of them you may be really familiar with already, and if you had a classical background, one of the other scales you had to learn is the harmonic minor scale. And this is the minor scale that is the same as the Aeolian mode. So if you are tuned in the key of C, no sharps or flats, the Aeolian mode is the minor scale that starts on the A, and it goes from A through A. So it would be A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A. The harmonic minor raises the G, or raises, I should say, the 7, which in this case, because we're talking about the A minor, harmonic minor scale, we're raising the G lever, and for you guitarists, so you just make sure you play a G sharp instead of a G natural. Whoops, let's start on the A. So the harmonic minor scale is one of the staples, one of the, I guess one of the most familiar, I think, to the Western ears when you think about Middle Eastern music. It's referred to as the Mohammedan scale. Part of it is included in the Hijaz, which we're going to look at also. And let's see, what else is stuff that I was telling you about on the handout? Oh, in Indian Raga also, it's called Kirwani, I think it's how it's pronounced. And it's very common in Jewish music. So if you have a patient who is Jewish and you don't know a lot of Jewish tunes, playing, improvising in the harmonic minor can be something that, even though it's minor and we think of it as being sad, it can be something that is very spiritual and very uplifting. So let's, I'd like for you all, even though I'm not going to have you go off mute yet, I want you to lift your G-sharp levers, make sure everything else is natural, so whatever lever setting you need to be, all natural notes except for a G-sharp. And then go ahead and just and play through the scale so you can hear it on your harp or on whatever other instrument you might be using. And starting with A and going up to A, you'll hear that there's a step and a half between the F and the G sharp, and that's the characteristic sound that you hear in Middle Eastern music quite a bit. Now, the chord progressions that you could use to improvise, I've pretty much just kind of looked at a whole bunch of different tunes that, and took a few different patterns. And so what is on your handout is there's A minor, D minor, A minor, E. Or you could go A minor, E, D minor, E. Or you could do A minor, D minor, E, and return to A minor. Any of those are going to be good for supporting the harmonic minor improvisation. Before we do anything with the improv, if you have also printed out the tunes, the four tunes, I don't think they ended up coming out in the same order I want to present them in, but the first tune would be the Turkish tune Bir Demet Yasemin, which means a bunch of jasmine. And it's just a really pretty tune. And I'm gonna just play through the melody without the chords and without a lot of rhythm, and show you how it can be just used as a meditative. You could play it non-rhythmically, but you could also play it rhythmically. So if you wanted to add these tunes into your repertoire, this is a nice one. It has nice sentiment, nice a bunch of jasmine. who can complain about that? So here's, and then there's a little run. And then let me add in some chords, and I'll go from the beginning again. Necessarily go through the whole thing. It's just as an example of a tune. And then I want to play also through the Shuru Habitu Uru, which is an Israeli tune. And the words that are written in there are actually written in sort of a fake phonetic spelling. But I'm not going to sing it. This one, I don't know if you noticed on the tune before, it has some G sharps in two different octaves, and also if you're going to play any E major chords, you'll want to have it in all of the octaves. But this one has the G sharp in the middle octave, but you'll notice that there's a G natural up here. So instead of this G sharp, we'll bring that down to G natural. And that's a common thing where, again, just as mock-ums, sometimes the G is sharp and sometimes not. So here's how this one sounds. There's also another tune called Folsom Galba, which, because it's not, I mean, it was composed in the 40s. I didn't want to include it because of copyright issues. But it also does the thing where there's a G natural in a high octave, and it switches. So you have to be able to switch back and forth. So now, using these chord progressions to improvise, using the very first one, A minor, D minor, A minor, E, that's the same as the first four bars of the Shuru Habitu Uru. So you can just simply take a tune that you already have, you know, a melody, and instead of playing what's there, just make it up. So. I changed to the chord progression A minor, D minor, E, A minor, which is the last one I put in the list of chords there. Now, the idea here is just the same as improvising in any major key. You stay with a simple left hand, you can do root fifth octave, or even just play a fifth in the left hand. So if you play just an A and an E, and and then play a D minor, so your D and A. And you can stay there, or you can go on, and then here's D. So you can just be real simple with your left hand and play some notes that just circle around. It's always a good idea, as you know from other improv classes, to start and end, or at least put your downbeats on chord tones. So if you're playing your A minor chord, don't start with the G sharp right away. You might want to save that for some flavor. But you start with either an A or here's a C. And then what you should do when you're practicing your improv is tell yourself to start on a different place than you usually do. So if you're used to starting on the tonic, so you play an A minor and you start on an A, you're going to end up having some real repetitive, you know, similar things. So think about starting on the third or starting on the fifth of the chord from time to time. And you could also think about not even starting on the downbeat. So instead of starting like right there, you can wait and then come in. Or you can even do pickup notes. So you can think about that you're going to start with and then, you know, come in with the chord after you've played a few notes. So those are some general ideas. Even doing glisses, if you do a real slow gliss over the A minor, expressively, and then do the D minor, and here's the E. Something that's real simple to do, but because the scale is tuned into the A harmonic minor, it feels like it's something from the tradition and from the culture. The harmonic minor, I think, is the one that's the easiest. I'm wondering if what I should do, I'm going to break this into three little sections. This first section was the harmonic minor scale, so I want to find out if you have questions about the harmonic minor scale, the tuning, what to do with it, how to do the improv, and before we go on to the Hijala scale. So I guess go off mute.
Berlin, this is Dee. Before I take folks off mute, is there anything that you're doing in particular around rhythm?
Not yet. I was gonna approach rhythm with the Hijala scale. So what I was doing was a lot more freeform and not applying rhythm yet.
I love the sound of this, and you're making it so accessible.
Yeah.
So thank you. It's totally cheering up. I can't wait to play. I won't play during the conference call, but I'm going to mess with it after. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I hope that you guys all have your instruments with you, and when you're on mute, as long as you're playing quietly and you can still hear what's going on, you know, I would encourage you to go ahead and try, you know, even if it's just simply the glissando along with the key, as long as you are tuned in the same, you know, I mean, I'm tuned up with my tuner, so so it won't sound funny to your ear.
Yeah, thank you.
This is Christina.
Hi, Christina.
I'm wondering, so I came in a little bit late, but it seems to me what you're saying is you can take any minor scale and sharp the seventh, and it will become a harmonic minor. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. Yeah.
So I could bring it in C sharp.
Yeah, so if you were in the key of D and you had an F sharp, then you would go to the relative minor key, which is C minor, and you have to keep your F sharp, but then you would add a D sharp as well.
Okay. Thank you.
And I chose, I always choose to kind of use these keys that are more generic, or, and just not generic, but more, more people have G sharp levers than a D sharp lever. So if you have a harp and only have two levers per octave, then you probably have an F sharp, C sharp, and a G sharp. Which is real easy to, hear, and we think of it as just a regular minor key, because there's a lot of classical music that's been written with harmonic minor keys. So it's not as foreign sounding to the Western ear. But the next scale is very, very cool, and has a little bit more, exotic kind of sound to it. It's called Hijaz. And this is a scale that you've got it in Indian, Middle Eastern, Eastern European, and even flamenco music, and in Arabic and Egyptian music, where it's known as the Hijaz Nahavind or the Bayati Maqam. And the Hijaz Nahavind has to do with the fact that it's part one scale, part another. Then it's actually used in Hebrew prayers and klezmer music, which was something I hadn't realized. And then I found that, oh, guess what? Hava Nagila is actually in this Hijaz scale. So we've got that as an example, mainly because it was an Israeli or, kind of klezmer kind of tune. I didn't really find any others because I don't have a whole big repertoire of Jewish music and didn't find any that were in Hijaz other than this. So we can take a look at what they sound like. First of all, I should tell you how you're going to get the scale. You already have your levers set so that you have G sharps, and so leave those G sharps, and instead of starting your scale on the A, which gives you your A harmonic minor, start it on E instead, which is the fifth degree of the scale. So now, here is the bass. Doesn't that sound exotic? So if you really can just play the E and then just mess around with it. And especially if you play around right where that F goes to the G sharp, you've got that step and a half sound that gives it a very exotic quality. And that is home base in the Hijaz scale. There is also sometimes a G natural up at the top, so there's that little bit of that alternate scale happening. Let me have you guys look at the Hava Nagila. You probably all know that tune or have heard it. You've been to a wedding. I'll play it for you just without like a lot of rhythm again here. The A minor, but most of it is focused, and so after you get to that like this, you feel like, ah, that's home, but then, all right, round two. So it focuses on the E quite a bit, and so you could really, you could say, well, it's really in the A harmonic minor scale, but they don't really spend a lot of time on A minor. The whole second line doesn't have an A minor in it at all. But the last section is mostly A minor, is more of an A harmonic minor. So that was just an example of how exotic that sounds. And then the other example that was printed out is the Mevlana melody. And this is a Turkish melody. And actually, I have some cool information that I put on your handout. This particular melody, Lorena McKennitt used in her tune called Marco Polo. And but anyway, you can read this on your own if you like. The name Mevlana Yalaluddin Rumi stands for love and ecstatic flight into the infinite. Mevlana is one of the great spiritual masters and poetic geniuses of mankind and was the founder of the Mevlevi Sufi order. So this is music that is used a lot in Sufi dancing, and it's very meditative, very spiritual. And again, it's something that it depends on who you're playing for. It might be that you just play a little of that and you just see how it feels. I've occasionally played a Persian tune, and then everybody's eyes light up and they go, "I know that song," and that it gives them this identification, or feeling like they're identifying with what you're doing instead of it just all being Western sounding music. So anyway, the Mevlana melody that I wrote out is the one that is used, that Lorena McKennitt uses, but it is a traditional Sufi melody. And there are no chord changes. This is all based on just the E chord. So if you just play the E and the B in your left hand, the thing that I wrote out here was so that people can have various choices of left-hand rhythms. And we'll be talking about rhythms in a second. But just with the simple rhythm, again, here's the sound of the melody. Gives you the flavor. That's home. That doesn't feel, it's not the five chord, it's something else. It is home for this scale. And so to solo in this, or to improvise in this scale, you would want to return to home often. So you'll notice the chord progressions I put here, E minor, or E to D minor to E, or E to F to E, or E to A minor to F to E. Keep returning to the E bass. So that it doesn't feel like it switched to A minor like Kaba Negila does. So let me go ahead and do just, again, without the without the rhythmic stuff. I'm just going to play improvisation on this scale. They're not the only patterns, but you want to be careful not to emphasize the A minor too much, because that will feel like you went home to a new home, to the relative, or the harmonic minor key. Let's see. Let's talk a little bit about the rhythm. A couple different things about rhythm, and then I'll open up for questions again. So the Maksum 4-4 basic rhythm, there, by the way, there's also, I put on the handouts, a couple of different places where you can learn a little bit more. There's maksumworld.com, and there is, I believe there's one for the Maksum as well. alitadances.com/rhythms talks a lot about the maksum and other kinds of Middle Eastern rhythms. But one of the really common rhythms is one that goes one and three, four. And I know you've heard that many, many times. If you've ever gone and seen people do belly dancing, you'll have heard this rhythm. It's a very common one. And it's a simpler one to play with your left hand than some of the other really involved ones. And it doesn't have to go fast. You can play, for instance, if I'm going to do, say, a root fifth and an octave in the left hand, you can go doom check, check, doom check. So I'm going 1-5-5-1-5, or octave, I should say, 1-5. And you can just do it with the two notes. 1-5-5-1-5, 1-5-5-1-5. And in fact, on the Mevlana melody, if you want to see notated things, 25 has that exact rhythm there on the first measure. And then if you do the full octave, I have something similar written to that in the next couple of measures. So the maksum basically has the eighth note and then a syncopation so that you don't play anything on two, and then the rest is falls onto the beat. So if you were to play that maksum rhythm, combination of fingers, and you don't have to do it like relentlessly every single bar. What you could do is mix it with straighter rhythm. When your right hand plays more notes, play simpler in the left hand, and when you get to the end of a phrase, so you could go like this. When I let the melody kind of breathe, then I added a little bit of more of the rhythm pattern. So I put this one in, and then I also put in a rhythm for flamenco. And this is a really fun thing. Now, flamenco music has a Middle Eastern flavor. In fact, the Hijaz scale is also something called the Spanish Phrygian scale, Spanish Gypsy scale, the Phrygian major scale, and it says it's common in flamenco music, and mainly it's that flat second and augmented step between the second and third that gives it the distinctive sound. And the main chords you would use would be the 1 and the 4 and the 7. So the 1 is the E, the 4 would be your A minor, and the 7 would be your D minor. But you also, for flamenco music, are going to use a lot of E, F, and then actually G, but not G sharp. So if you leave your low G natural and your high G natural, so the same one that we brought down for another tune, and then take this G sharp and bring it down, then you can get to a G, and as long as you stay away from the middle G sharps that are around your middle C. And then playing your E chord, you could go, and you can do it if you have really low. that would be like a, you know, a flamenco improvisation. That wasn't a tune. It was just messing around. And again, some people they're really into flamenco style music. One of the guitar players is an expert at flamenco music and also Brazilian music. And we have a lot of Hispanic patients at Stanford Hospital, a lot of people in California, for one thing, and then people who come from South America and from Mexico will come to Stanford for treatment. So we get people from all over. And even though that seems a little kind of too rhythmic to play for therapeutic music, it can be very, very restful. So if you're from that culture, that's not sounding like, it doesn't sound like something that would raise your heart rate. It sounds calming. So these are just some, I guess some easy ways to do it without having to go and learn a whole repertoire of flamenco tunes, a whole repertoire of Arabic and other Middle Eastern tunes. You can do the improvisation with these scales. And so the rhythm for the flamenco is written at the bottom of your second page. And the way I wrote it is I put the 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 in, and I put a slash for a note or a chord or a note. And then the two little asterisks means to roll the chord. So what I do for the flamenco is I do 1 and then pa-da-dum for the 2. 1, pa-da-dum, bum, 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 bum. I'm too low for that G. So that bump, rum, bump. So what you could do is take a chord and play the block chord and then play it bump, but a bump. So it's basically the whole thing and then the 3-2-1 really that bump, but a bump, 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 bump. And you can also leave out the 4 every so often. So those are just some ideas that you can play with. So now, this is the next third of the hour, I'm noticing. So can we open it up to some more questions?
Was it clear enough how to set your levers for the hijab?
What I was going to say is I had discovered this, and I called it the Ahava Rock. Robin, I think it was a Jewish thing, the Hebrew scale.
Uh-huh.
So I'm already improvising in it, but not to the degree that you can. I'm fascinated with this. And I watched you and your sister's video.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
You have the music of the first one in the Middle Eastern sketch.
Which, was the first one the Sultan Galba?
Yes.
Yes. I have a lead sheet that I'd be happy to share. It's the tune I was talking about that is under copyright. It might be under copyright. I have no way of, I don't know how to research that because it's a Persian song that was written in the 40s for a movie. And it's
yeah.
called King of the Heart or Sultan Galba. And it's a beautiful tune and it's the one that I if you have to put an actual song in your repertoire for Persian patients, that would be the one to do. So I would be happy to share it, not, I wouldn't be selling it. I don't know how legal that is. But what I could do is just post it on my website and have you go to my website. Or just email me and I can send you a PDF.
Okay, I'll do that. My question was, I already tried taking it out, and it does not start in E. Or I raised my G lever and my G lever, and so I was wondering, it wasn't in the same scale.
Oh, there is I was probably playing it in E harmonic minor, not A harmonic minor.
Okay.
So do you think that that's maybe what it was?
probably. I just couldn't figure out how to figure out what the harmonic minor was. I just knew what it sounded like. And I have to go back and listen. But if I could actually have a lead sheet.
Right.
Now, because what happens is if I go into a situation and all of a sudden my brain goes brain dead, and I'm sure this has happened to other people, and I can't hear the beginning measures in my head, if I can go back and look on an app on my phone and just see the first few measures, I'll go, oh, yeah, that's it, and then I can play.
You know, what I do when I have a new tune that I'm not always sure what key to, you know, how it starts, I sometimes will write the title of the tune and remind myself how to set my levers, especially when it's got unusual lever settings.
Wow.
So you might just put, you know, a title, Dolphin Galva, E harmonic minor, F sharp and D sharp, but you also need that high natural for part of it. So that's, you know, if you were doing it in A harmonic minor, sorry about that. My computer just rebooted for some reason. Using that to look at my handouts and stuff. So I need to get it back up. So you heard the Windows theme there. That's what that was.
I'll go back on you, but thank you so much.
So, yeah, just email me. You can go to my website and find and use the contact there if you'd like.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Verlene, this is Christina.
Hi, Christina.
Is your website listed on the handouts?
It is. And it's simple. It's www.verlene, is my first name, .com.
Okay, that is simple.
Yeah. Any other questions or the other rhythms that are on the Mevlana melody might be something just to kind of sight read through. Again, the rhythms they are important, of course, but you can also turn these into real meditative either non-rhythmic or at least just very rubato improvisations. Any other questions?
I just took everybody off mute again.
Okay. And now I just have to bring my files back up. Oh, wait, I've got them printed out here. Good. Okay, so I pretty much covered all of the information that was on the two pages, the handout that was the two pages. And if you'd like, we can kind of go through a little exercise where I'll call out the chord and I'll play chords, and you guys can kind of just noodle with the scales. And so we'll maybe do for a few minutes in harmonic minor and then do a few minutes on hijaz. And that way you don't have to try and coordinate left and right hand. You can focus more on where you want to take that right hand, you know, where you want to take the melody. My computer's making all kinds of noises. Okay, so I'm going to ignore the computer. And so what we'll do is let's do the A minor, D minor, A minor, E chord progression. And I'm going to just play it in a real straight rhythm. One and two and three, four. Just to keep the rhythm going. And then I'm using both hands to play the chord progression for you. And you guys are going to get the... You know, do whatever you want. Off mute. On mute, not off mute. So that I think that if I'm playing, you're going to still hear it well enough if you just play very lightly, and then that way you can kind of get a sense of how you can play, you know, how you can play with this scale. Remember that it's the real characteristic part of it is from the G sharp to the F. So if you're just playing A minor up through the E, I mean the A note up through the E, it won't sound very exotic. It's when you're using E, F, G sharp, A, that you start to really hear that flavor. So I'll play this chord progression about maybe 8 bars. So 1, 2, 3, 4. Hijaz scale, which means that it's the same notes, you don't have to retune. And let's just keep all the G sharp for you right now, and don't worry about the G natural thing. And I'll play a chord progression of the E and F back and forth. So I'll play several, I think what I'll do is 2 bars of E, 2 bars of F, and back and forth like that. So, all right, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then for the last thing, I'm going to play the flamenco pattern of E, F, G, F. And so I'm going to have my low G and my, I'll just go ahead and have this middle G here. And so I'll have E, F, G, F, and I have to make sure not to play that middle F there, or G. So let's go. Okay, and so I'll play a pattern that has, again, at least a bar in each. And 1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you. Okay, and I would like to open it up to find out what your experience of that is. And I think, Dee, this would be a nice thing to have on the conference call for people to listen, because then they can also use that as a sort of a practice session, even though they're not hearing improvisation or anybody else's improv. But anyway, what was your experience?
Can you say that question again, please?
So I'm just asking, what was your experience with, did you play, if you played it along with my chord progressions there, how did it feel? Did it feel like it was coming natural? You know, whatever, whatever you'd like to say. Or did you have difficulty?
It felt great. I wanted to be able to do the ornamentation that I heard on your video. but I thought, okay, if I listen to this conference call and she gives me in this practice time with you doing the beat behind it, you know, the rhythms behind it, it'll help practice.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Good. Good. Yeah, I do really similar ornaments to what I do in Celtic music. You know, just playing the, if you're going downward, if you're going to go down just three notes, just repeat the previous two for an ornament. I do quite a bit of that. And when you do it here on, whoops, I don't have my G-sharp anymore. It sounds bigger than it really is, or more complicated than it is.
Well, I think
hello. Sorry. It's all right. This is Bonchi, kind of Berlin. I played on my Autobahn, and I did a little bit of a reach from EDUF. I had reconfigured to her.
Oh, yeah.
But quite lovely. Quite lovely.
Good, good. Yeah, I imagine that would be a challenge on the auto harp.
Yeah, but it's actually, once you get used to the reach,
mm-hmm.
it's easy. So. But thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Oh, great. Good.
This is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
I wanted to mention, I really enjoyed this class. I've been sort of fiddling around with Middle Eastern sounding things that I did not know about the Hijaz scale.
Yeah.
But something new, which really sounds good.
Yeah.
What I have kind of dealt with sometimes is leaving it in E harmonic minor, and then the ninth above middle C sharpening the D there. The leading the D is natural, and ooh, that's fun too.
Mm-hmm.
But the Hijaz sounds even more authentic, maybe, let's say.
Cool.
So this was a great class.
Great.
Thank you.
Okay.
For me, it's Linda.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. I just wanted to say thanks so much for what you've presented, and it's leaps and bounds ahead of what anything that I have experienced. I haven't delved into the Middle Eastern music, and it's kind of whetted my appetite to want to incorporate this in my repertoire. So thank you so much.
Great. Awesome. Well, I see that it just turned to 7:00. So I guess if there are no more questions, we wrap it up.